Obama addresses the unthinkable.
We cannot and must not, and we will not, let our auto industry simply vanish. This industry is like no other. It's an emblem of the American spirit, a once and future symbol of America's success.
Looking less rock-like than ever, General Motors is told to restructure its business model to have any hope of regaining American spirit. As for more American greenbacks, the clock is ticking. 60 more days. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, March 31st. Adora Udoji is away, spending time with her new baby. More time coming up this hour. We'll hear what one UAW auto worker thinks of the president's plan for the industry. Travel writer Pico Iyer on the Dalai Lama's shifting global presence. And we'll head to Rome for a closer look at Chrysler's 30 days to find a BFF in Fiat. Those stories and more, but first the headlines. Barack Obama makes his first overseas trip today to London to attend the G20 summit. He's also set to meet with the leaders of Britain, Russia, and China. Meanwhile, auto workers in Detroit are sorting out what the president's tough new terms for GM and Chrysler mean to them. DeJuan Williams works at GM. He says he'll make sacrifices, even a pay cut, but it isn't fair.
Then we turn around and we see banks up, being rewarded after they've done a bad job. And here, we're honest auto workers and we haven't done a bad job. We did our job.
The voices of auto workers coming up on the program. Meanwhile, GM's new head, Fritz Henderson, says he's confident GM can turn things around by the president's 60-day deadline.
We need to move faster. We need to move deeper. And I think the clear view from their perspective, our perspective, is we're going to do what it takes to get this job done.
You didn't get the job to run GM, Mark Garrison. You got to do this newscast. What else is going on?
Good morning, John. There's another possible salmonella outbreak, this time in pistachios. The FDA is warning people to stop eating foods containing them. Jeff Farrar is a California public health chief. He says most of the recalled nuts were either repackaged or used in other products.
This will be an ingredient in a lot of different products that may possibly include things like ice cream, cake mixes, and so forth.
A California-based processor is recalling a portion of pistachios it had been shipping since late fall. In Fargo, North Dakota, it's still man versus nature. Residents are still watching the swollen Red River, but now they're in the middle of a blizzard. It's snowing, cold, and very windy. The worry is the storm will threaten the levees. So far, though, they're holding. In Iraq, a suicide truck bomber has hit a police station in Mosul, killing at least 7 and wounding 17. Over in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu will be sworn in as prime minister today. Again, he had the job in the late 90s. John.
And in North Korea, two young American journalists will be put on trial for entering the country illegally in, quote, hostile acts. The two were detained last week. Key financial figures later this morning, the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index and consumer confidence will be gauged. Dow lost more than 3% yesterday. Asian markets were mixed today. The Nikkei fell 1%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed up just a bit. So the auto industry cannot vanish. It needs you. Maybe we need some new slogans. Give your new slogan for the new nationalized, maybe, auto industry. Tell it to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can sing it as well. See the USA in your Toyota? MyTake at TheTakeaway.org or 877-8-MY-TAKE. Slogans.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Right on schedule yesterday, Barack Obama stepped to the podium and outlined a stern response to GM and Chrysler's plans to restructure. More restructuring is necessary, says the president, and GM has 60 days to do it, while Chrysler has only 30 days to make a deal with Italian automaker Fiat. So Rick Wagoner, the government no longer has him as CEO of General Motors to push around anymore, but it looks like the UAW, the United Auto Workers Union, is on deck. And the question is, how many more sacrifices will be asked of workers on the line? Workers all over the United States in the auto industry are mulling over the details of the Barack Obama speech and what's likely to shake out over the next few weeks. Joining us now is our friend Will Markham, a UAW worker in Pontiac. Will, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
And Terry Harden joins us. He's been a UAW worker for 31 and a half years. He's at GM's Assembly Center in Pontiac along with Will. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John. It's good to be with you.
So I'm going to play something which I'm sure you heard yesterday from Barack Obama speaking directly to auto workers such as yourselves. And then just let me know how you felt when you heard the president say this.
Many of you have been going through tough times for longer than you care to remember. And I won't pretend that the tough times are over. I can't promise you there isn't more difficulty to come. But what I can promise you is this. I will fight for you. You're the reason I'm here today. I got my start fighting for working families in the shadows of a shuttered steel plant. I wake up every single day asking myself, what can I do to give you and working people all across this country a fair shot at the American dream?
So, Will and Terry, I'll begin with you. You know, it's all about confidence in this economy. Did the president give you confidence yesterday?
Well, I wouldn't say he gave me quite confidence, although I'm more than happy to, you know, that he says he's going to step in and give us some assistance. I'm just kind of concerned about what conditions are going to be, you know, have to be met for that assistance.
As a worker in the plant, do you feel vulnerable at this point that the restructuring could go on and that you're not going to have much of a say in how things look 60 days from now?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. With 31 and a half years seniority, I feel that I really have no more sense of security than when I started over 30 years ago. I mean, it's pretty scary.
And Will, how about you?
Oh, I feel the same way. I'm sitting with 25 years seniority, you know what I mean, with no options whatsoever. We've been pretty much in the dark throughout this whole process, and I can honestly say today we're just as confused about what's going on when you and I first started talking back in November.
Has the union leadership been in touch with you, emailing, giving you a sense of where we go from here? Either one of you will?
Well, I've seen some information, and, you know, we know about where we're being planned. Of course, you know, we can't negotiate in the public. You know, it's against the NLRB. So, but we do know that we have quite a bit on the table already that I don't think most people know about, and it's just scary how much further they want us to go.
Now, Terry, this morning, you know, it occurred to me, do you wish you were working over at Ford this morning?
You know, I've been pretty fortunate in my career at GM, but, you know, to be totally honest with you, I have had thoughts where, you know what, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to be with Ford because they're certainly seem to be in a better position than us, stating that they're not going to take any government loans because then they don't have to, you know, they don't have to answer and I guess, you know, dance to their beat.
Now, Terry and Will, what are they doing over there that's different? I mean, you talk to UAW workers that are on the line at Ford plants around the country. Terry, you first.
You know, it's really hard to say. You know, I don't know. Maybe their leadership might be, you know, a little better. I mean, I just have some concerns with our leadership. You know, their compensation packages of Mr. Wagner. You know, he's looking at $20 million retirement, and we're looking at a possible quick rinse bankruptcy, which would cut our retirement in half. I mean, I don't know that people really understand that, you know, that he's going to be fine, and we're over here, you know, we're struggling.
No, I think a lot of people do understand that, but you know, you reiterate, you stated it very, very well. You know, one of the things that Barack Obama presented yesterday, I want you to react to, Will, is the idea that maybe using the tax code, we can re-stimulate demand for GM and Chrysler cars. Listen to this.
The IRS is launching a campaign to alert consumers of a new tax benefit for auto purchases made between February 16th and the end of this year. If you buy a car anytime this year, you may be able to deduct the cost of any sales and excise taxes. And this provision could save families hundreds of dollars and lead to as many as 100,000 new car sales.
Does that give you hope, Will?
Well, I think that's a wonderful thing, but I also believe that's once again, ignoring exactly what put us here, and that is the loan industry going to be able to give loans? I mean, it's fine to say someone can buy a car and get a tax break, but they would have to come up with the money out of their pocket. It's the loans that got us in trouble. You know,
right.
We've got the products, but if a person cannot go out and buy cash money for a vehicle, then we're right back in the same boat. And there's where the problem is getting people loans to be able to buy these vehicles. That's what tore our market up.
Well, two great takeaways from both of you, straight from the line there in Pontiac. Terry saying that the pensions of the workers, even with 31 and a half years experience, are on the line if GM goes into bankruptcy. And as Will just said, it's the credit markets unfreezing that's going to help this market, nothing else. Will and Terry, a new slogan for the car industry if it gets reconstituted under this plan from Barack Obama? Will?
Well, my slogan, which has been for a lot of years, I don't know if it's new, but we've always teased about General Motors building tomorrow's vehicles with yesterday's tools. So that's pretty much the way we do it.
Ouch. Terry Harden, what's your slogan?
Well, mine would be that, you know, don't give up on us. We're going to survive. Just don't give up on us.
Nice. Terry Harden, UAW worker for 31 and a half years from the GM Assembly Center in Pontiac, Michigan, along with Will Markham, also a UAW worker and our friend here at The Takeaway. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Great talking to you again.
So 60 days at GM, but only 30 days for Chrysler to make a deal with Fiat. Joining us now is BBC Rome correspondent David Willey. David, the offer yesterday from Barack Obama was, in theory, if a deal can be done in the next 30 days, there's $6 billion available to Fiat from the U.S. Federal Treasury. Is that attractive? And how is this being covered over there in Rome?
It's very attractive indeed. There's been some very positive comment this morning from the leaders of Italian industry. The president of the Federation of Italian Industries, Emma Marcigaglia, has said that she's really happy. And so has Luca di Montezemolo, who's the president of Fiat and also the president of the Ferrari, which is owned partly by Fiat. So I think there's high expectations here. Even from leading politicians have said that they think this is a very, very good solution. Fiat is Italy's largest private employer, and there's been a lot of worry here in recent years that it was going down the tubes, just like the American car manufacturers. But the arrival on the scene a couple of years ago of Sergio Marchionne, who is an Italian entrepreneur who's spent a lot of time in the United States and in Canada, seems to have turned the fortunes of Fiat around.
Well, you know, one interesting thing is, and I'm wondering how that plays in Europe, is, you know, Fiat, in theory, is getting Chrysler for, a tenth or less of what Cerberus bought it for, and maybe a 100th of what Daimler, the Germans, bought it for. Not bad.
Could be a very, very good deal, but don't lose sight of the fact that the car industry in Europe here is also in a state of some flux as a result of the global meltdown. Fiat has been looking around very carefully for a suitable partner, because I think Sergio Marchionne realizes that alone, Fiat can't do it. It's been looking for an alliance. And now, with the Chrysler deal, I see the Financial Times in London is suggesting that it could be a deal which is also going to bring the French Peugeot group into this new alliance. So I think we have to see over the next 30 days, as you were saying, what's going to happen.
Why did the Fiat stock go down yesterday?
Well, it's gone up today.
It's gone up today, okay.
Yeah.
So it's bouncing around.
Yeah, it's bouncing around. And this morning it's up. It was up 7.8% when the markets opened. So, I think everybody here is pretty happy about. And Mr. Marchionne himself is in the United States already negotiating. So the hope here is that something will happen. You see, Fiat for many years was although it was an international company, it had a big monopoly inside in the domestic market here. Everybody in Italy used to buy Fiat cars. Well, this all changed.
And both companies are internationalized from this deal. 30 days from now, if Fiat and Chrysler get together, it will internationalize both of them even more. David Willey, BBC Rome correspondent, thanks so much.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.